Blog Talk Radio.
Time in prime time. Welcome in. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Your calls, lines are open. A time to heal. Men against violence. We call it the man episode. And let me put some rules in place and some expectations. Yes, you can call in 619-639-4747. Yes, you can have an opinion and a perspective about the topic. Again, the man episodes. The only thing I ask you to do is do not turn this into a man bashing session. As kind of not only host, but somewhat maybe even moderator, we cannot go down that road. This episode, all episodes that we do, whether it's this one, A Time to Heal, or even when we get into the sports talk on the weekends, never ever becomes a bash session, whether it's men or women. That is just something we just do not do. A Time to Heal, Men Against Violence. Let me give you some history of where all this kind of came from, and most recently how this kind of birthed itself. Several weeks ago, I had the really, really amazing good fortune of spending a couple of days with Men Stopping Violence, some brothers from Atlanta, and just getting their perspective and what they were trying to do in the work. Myself and eight other gentlemen have taken on the call of Men Stopping Violence in the Southland community in the Chicago market. But obviously this program and many programs across this country find it tough sledding sometimes, because these are dark, dark demons that some people are dealing with. And for many years, it's been a woman fight. Women have been fighting this battle forever. Please understand that. They have been fighting it. You know, and I even played for you even last week during the weekday show some of the music that came out in the 60s, literally supporting and propagating these acts of hitting your woman, punching her, slapping her. This man-dominated society that somehow looks at women as property or as a possession that must somehow be controlled. Well, without getting a little too preachy tonight and not going T.D. Jakes on the entire world, let me be the first one to tell you, the girl in your life is not your property, okay? My faith lends me to believe that that child of God is just that, a child of the Most High. So that is obviously where I come from. That's never going to change. So let me, I'm kind of scrolling through some of the information some of you have put in some of the documented sessions, the chat sessions, and some of the archives. You know, some of the taglines you guys are using to share this across the country. I see the domestic violence, abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse, all that is well good. And then I see the one that says porn. And I kind of go, And I don't know how many of us talk about the effects that pornography has on domestic abuse, because it does. It is a form of control that many men use to coerce, if you will, their women into different acts that maybe they otherwise wouldn't feel comfortable doing. And I know for a lot of you that's an uncomfortable topic, it's an uncomfortable subject to broach. But then again, this is the World Wide Web. This is the Internet. I am not held to any particular calling. There's no FCC restriction that says you can't slip up and drop a D word or an F word or whatever, you know, comes to mind as you're explaining your cause. So the world largely is yours at 619-639-4747. Much like we did the other day, we'll certainly go through the top 10 things men can do to stop domestic violence in our society. We'll, of course, play your favorite, your spoken words, and have some fun as best we can on such, again, a tough, tough topic and calling out men. And understand, when I say I'm calling out men, I'm not calling you out for the acts that you've done. I'm calling you out to heal. Because if you don't heal as a grown man, knowing that you're involved in these heinous acts of putting your hands on your woman, and if we need to, and I have no issue clearly defining domestic violence, clearly defining the types of domestic violence. And since we are in prime tonight, Mike, why don't we just go ahead and do that? Let's just explain what domestic violence is. Give it a definition and talk about the various forms that are out there right now that are largely incredibly scary for a lot of us in this market, in this business. You know, we really don't often realize how many forms of abuse there really are. So we'll get to that as well within the episode tonight. 619-639-4747. I'll tell you what, let's rock and roll. Last week we started off with Ball and Chain. This week we'll do the American Epidemic, because that would just simply be the right thing to do. And, of course, because I'm a humble kind of guy, I want to get started off the right track. So here is American Epidemic. Check it out. Be back in a few.
Second, we're a safe haven for people. And so the hospital itself is a place where people can feel safe and comfortable. And the opportunity of hospitals to do assessment, to do screening, and then to offer opportunity for resources is something we have a great opportunity to do.
The prosecutors can't do it alone. The police officers, the doctors, the service providers cannot do it alone. But if we all work together and work together as a team to address every need and aspect of the victim's situation, then it is a game that we can win, because when we work together, we make a really formidable opponent.
Be smarter than I am. Just because you have degrees, or you make a lot of money, or you Don't think you have a way out if you have no money. There are support groups. There are people that will help you find a way out. And anything, any place is better away from that environment.
If we could paint a picture of a brighter future, one thing that we definitely have to do is we have to detach the stigma of domestic violence. I think that there is this persona that domestic violence is what happens to other people. It doesn't happen to normal people. It doesn't happen to, you know, middle class people who go to their jobs and get educations and just live their lives, but we know it does. And it happens everywhere. And people need to learn to speak out. We need to empower women to ask for help, to seek help when they're in these situations, that we will believe them, that there are places they can turn, whether it's our victim shelters or calling the police, calling 911, going to a trusted friend, a neighbor, the local clinic, the hospital. But how can we stop it before it happens? Or when we start that cycle, how can we intervene in the middle of it? That's when we're going to have a brighter picture of tomorrow.
It's going to continue to be a journey, and not only for me, but for my children, and perhaps for their children. But we've got each other, and God willing, we're here together to work through it.
I saw that this was just going to destroy my life, going to destroy me, that I had to turn it around and do something positive. And that's when we started working with the shelters and setting up scholarships. Let it go and move on, because life is too short and you deserve the best.
Windows to my soul, a doorway to my dreams. It's a little bit of everything. It's a mixture of, you know, my hopes, my dreams, my desires, and my aspirations, and I vision myself doing these different things, you know. I do believe in the concept of visualization, you know. If you can see it and you think it, and as long as you vision yourself doing something, it's going to happen. I truly believe that, you know. I really, really do. Realize that you are a strong woman, and you want someone who's going to encourage you and love you and make you want to pursue your dreams. That's important. It really is important. So just get out. Move on. You know, it's better things are going to happen, but you in order to start something new, you have to do away with the old. You have to do away with the past. And in order for good things to happen in your life, you have to get rid of the bad first. You know, it's scary at first because you don't know what you're going to do. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be scared. But most importantly, you're still alive to feel that way. So that's important. At least you're still alive and you have another day to make a change. But you have to start today. You have to. I am now 35 years old, so it's been 10 years since my experience. Everything is falling into place for me. It's great. It's great.
You remember when we couldn't say the word breast? The shame attached to a woman going in and talking about breast cancer, you know, 20 years ago was terrible. You know, so we've really got a lot of work to do to be able to go in and talk openly and honestly about abuse, so that women can hear that it's okay to talk about it, so we can move ahead like we have on breast cancer. That'd be wonderful. I'm going to live to see that happen. I think I am.
Powerful stuff. That is American Epidemic right here on A Time to Heal, the man episode. All right. Let's give some definition to domestic violence. Again, it's been about a week since we've done this, so let's get some clarification. Domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of behavior in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power and control over an intimate partner. Abuse is physical, sexual, emotional, economic, or psychological actions or threats of actions that influence another person. This includes any behaviors that frighten, intimidate, terrorize, manipulate, hurt, humiliate, blame, injure, or wound someone. Domestic violence can happen to anyone of any race, age, sexual orientation, religion, or gender. It can happen to couples who are married, living together, or who are dating. Domestic violence affects people of all socioeconomic backgrounds and educational levels. If you or anyone you know needs help, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233 or 800-799-7233. safe, understanding you are not alone. Back on the ride once again, and I love it when you blow me up. Let's see. We'll send that one to the moderator the right way. A couple of things you need to know. The majority of domestic violence victims are women. One in three women report being physically or sexually abused by a husband or boyfriend at some point in their lives. Now, I really, really slow down when I share this with you, because the fact that it's one in three women report being physically or sexually abused by a husband or boyfriend at some point during their lives. One in three? You know what this means, right? This means that you know someone. You know of someone involved in this. And if you don't, for whatever the reason, well, God bless you, because I don't know how that's possible. One in three? Just do the math of the people that you know in your circle. You know someone. More than 32 million Americans are affected by domestic violence every year. And it is the leading cause of injury to women. And that's all of that. We're talking across the board. Not the elderly slips and falls. No. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women. So today's mission, as I call out my brothers and the men, it's time to heal, educate, and empower everyone, especially survivors of assaults or domestic violence and child abuse, and shed light into the darkness that surrounds all these issues. The reality is, it's real. It is real. We all were horrified by the despicable act that 9/11 brought, and it galvanized the nation. I forget the number of 3,300, how many people died in that incident, but it was an attack on American soil. Yet quietly hidden behind the doors of millions of homes across this world, this kind of violence exists, and it goes on. One in three women report being physically or sexually abused by their husband or boyfriend. In the state of Massachusetts alone, one out of every nine abuse cases ends up in death. Those numbers alone are absolutely horrifying. Please understand, that alone is scary. Now, I was very, very fortunate in my lifetime. You know, I had mom, I had dad. You know, my dad passed away back in the 80s, but in his season of life, he taught us a lot of things. You know, and I shared with you guys, you know, earlier this week that one of the nicest things he shared with all of us as young men was the concept that you will never truly be a man until you know how to satisfy a woman. Now, for those of you that have got your mind in the gutter, stop it, okay? Stop it for a minute, because the reality, and he came back and even cleaned up and clarified it, because we were young and dumb. You thinking about what I'm thinking about, Dad? No, dog, no. Let me get you to ground zero. Understand your role as a man, the provider in his household, the responsible party, being responsible and accountable for what goes on in the household. That woman is your helpmate. She is the flower. She is the roses upon around the crown of your head. She is to be revered, loved, and given the resources necessary to manage your home. Even the Bible says a wise woman buildeth her house, a foolish one plucketh it down. So there's no rocket science here, none whatsoever. 619-639-4747 if you've got an opinion, if you've got something to say. We've got all kinds of fun information. The 10 things men can do to end the violence. You know, we shared 10 things yesterday. These are 10, and I don't say they're brand new things, but these are specifically about ending violence against women, not 10 things to necessarily end just violence in general. Okay? And if these seem like they come from, you know, Men Stopping Violence, these are various organizations, that's because this is a collective effort across the board from all of us. Okay? All of us. Number one tonight. Acknowledge and understand how sexism, patriarchy, and male privilege lay the foundation for all forms of violence against women. Now, if you're a guy out there and that statement bothered you or it rubbed you the wrong way, I'm glad it did. Because you need to acknowledge and understand how sexism, patriarchy and male privilege have laid the foundation for all forms of violence against women. You weren't born to abuse that woman. You weren't brought in this world to put your hands on her, to degrade her. No, that's not what you were born. So where did this come from? Sexism, patriarchy, male privilege. Men are stronger. Women simply aren't. Women are inferior. Men are superior. Wrong. Most of what you see. No, let's get back. All of what we've come to learn is just that. It is a learned behavior. Maybe your dad did it. Maybe your brothers did it. Maybe your grandparents did it. Granddaddy did it. Whoever. This male privilege, this male dominant society has laid the foundation for you suddenly thinking that you need to control her. You need to put your hands on her, put her in her place. And that's just wrong. So I need my brothers to acknowledge and understand how this happened. I don't blame you complicitly. I don't blame you completely. But I do know that with a reality check, a simple snapshot of in the mirror of who you are and what you are and where you've come from gives you a chance to make a better decision. So acknowledge and understand how sexism, patriarchy, and male privilege lay the foundation for all forms of violence against women. Why did you hit her? Why? Why did you raise your hand to her? Liberal 141, I got you. Let's go. Hi.
Yes. Hey, great show, great show. I'm listening to what you're saying. Yes, I agree that as a man, you should control yourself and not hit a woman and not touch her and not go there. But when you're saying that some women doesn't provoke a man, I have to disagree. There are some women out there that will push your boundaries and say things to you that you're really looking at the woman and saying, you know what, even me, who's never touched a woman, never went there. There are some women who told me things that I, in my mind, thank God I didn't have a reaction. But it slipped my mind for 2 seconds. You're lucky I didn't jump on it.
You're well, lucky. Hold on. Yeah, because you make a valid point. And we've talked about this now for a couple of weeks now, in that there are many situations where the provocation has come from the woman. And without turning this into a what about her episode, I'm proud of you for the in that you didn't, as much as you said you thought about it for a split second. But let me ask you this question. What held you from stepping across the boundaries? What stopped you from putting your hands on her? Because obviously something in you said no. What was that?
It was all my conviction. It was like, I'm never going to go there. If I come to the point that I'd rather break up with you. If you come to the point that you're hurting me to that point, that means you're touching a button in me that's making me go to that point, then I have to leave you. Or I have to, you're doing something in me, you're changing me. And the final response, the final responsibility for any person, for any woman that does something is I choose how I'm going to respond to somebody.
And that's the key. And you are absolutely right on point with that, Liberal 141. I thank you for the call. Liberal 41 leaves a line open. We'll check back in a little bit. It is absolutely important for all of you all to grasp some reality in that your actions are absolutely critical. Please understand something. It is not necessarily the provocation that gives you license to lash out. It is, however, your responsibility, your level of accountability that simply says, as Liberal 141 has said, your ability to say no, your ability to say this is not how we're going to deal with this, how we're going to handle this, is absolutely critical. It's absolutely critical. So, again, acknowledging where you came from. Now, again, I don't know much about Liberal 141's, the past necessarily, but here's what's important. When the situation reared its ugly head, how did he handle it? How did he address it? Again, he had every opportunity to do what so many of them. You heard the numbers. One out of every three women in this. I mean, that number ought to just make you angry. One out of three? All right. 141, thank you very much. We'll check back. We got to move on. A 773 caller. Hi.
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much.
Just who am I talking to?
And give my 2 cents.
Okay, come on, 2 cents.
So basically, my thing is, it's very important that we have some accountability for ourselves, men and women. And, It's very important that men maintain control over themselves and their emotions, and it's very important that women identify what is it about them that allows them to be in a relationship with someone who would even consider physical responses to dealing with things that make them uncomfortable, or who would even consider, you know, domestic violence. You know, if there's something about the woman that she needs to address as well, as far as why is she involved with, attracted to, or interested in a man who would deal with conflict in that way. And if there's no accountability, then what happens is she does not empower herself to change her future, because she's basically putting the onus onto the other person, saying that why did you do this to me, when in reality she was very much involved in choosing the man that ultimately abused her.
Well, while that's all really, really well and good, you know, and again, without turning this into a finger-pointing session of provocation, what she did, what ownership do we have as men to not only control certain situations? Again, you're the bigger, you're the stronger. Even if we came from this male dominant perspective, how can we as men stop this whole provocation of what we did in the heat of it just because she did? What can we do as men?
Well, again, it's really just about accountability, because personally, you know, I'm not attracted to women that I perceive to be combative. You know, I'm not attracted to women who don't know how to have a conversation without being volatile or without raising their voice. One of the sexiest women I ever met, I saw her talking to her daughter, and she said, "Excuse me one moment." And she said, "Samantha, I'm very disappointed in the way you're conducting yourself." And she said, "It's troubling me that you can't seem to manage your emotions." And it just struck me that if she can talk to her child that way when she gets frustrated with her child, that she might know how to talk to her man in a similar manner when she gets frustrated with her man, as opposed to reacting in a physical way with the child or in a volatile way with her man.
See, ladies, there's a caveat for you right then and there of how to get a man, the new way of getting a man. Talk to your children in a calmer tone, you might get a different response. I think that's amazing. And the brother even said, hey, that's what, you know, made her the sexiest woman to me. And the reality is, and again, we're not going to get on the women tonight because that's not what this one's about. This one is about calling our brothers out. And he said it best. It's about accountability and the selection process by which you come across these mates. He alluded to the fact that, you know, he wasn't attracted to a sister that was loud or maybe, you know, vocal or combative, so to speak. So what does that say for the sisters out there now? Does that make them suddenly have to rethink how they're being presented, how they're presenting themselves while they're out there in that selection process for a man? You know, 699, give me your perspective on that selection process. I mean, are you currently married?
It's funny you segue into why I actually called. I actually have a spoken word piece that addresses the selection process.
Go ahead and share it with me, man. Go ahead.
All right. Well, so my poet name is Marinate On Me. And,
hey, hang on. Say that one more time. What's the spoken word name?
It's Marinate On Me.
Marinate On Me. Okay, we're going to set this up. Ladies and gentlemen, an exclusive only on A Time to Heal. Say it one more time. What's the name of it?
Marinate On Me.
Marinate On Me, only on A Time to Heal, the man episode. Go ahead, player.
I've been watching you, and what I discovered is that you don't know what a good man is. After all these years and pillows filled with tears, one would think that by now you would have figured it out, but somewhere along the road you took a bad route, and now you lost and confused, asking God for direction. Stuck in the ditch because you were searching for perfection. And little did you know that I'm as good as it gets, but you can't tell because you're too busy looking at my outfit, trying to see what the label says on my shirt. And the sad part is you don't even know your worth, Black Queen. And I say that because that's what you are, a descendant of ancestors who ruled their land. Yeah, I know that's some deep stuff that you can't understand, but that's cool because I'm going to take you by your hand and give you what you need, and all you have to do is just sit back and marinate on me. Now, I must admit, I'm kind of glad that we never got involved, because I ain't in the business of breaking down the walls. I got enough problems of my own, and I already know what yours are, you see. You're the kind of woman that don't like a man trying to tell you what to do, but the truth of the matter is, any woman in her right mind would appreciate a good man to be submissive to, but nah, not you. Yeah, I know your type. You like to fight and argue about everything, even when you know you ain't right and don't have a clue of what it is you're trying to say. So for you, baby girl, all I can do is pray that you learn from your mistakes. Wake up before it's too late. Come to appreciate a man who listens to what it is you have to say, you see. You like them laid-back brothers who only call you once a week. It's something about his mystique that you can't resist. You can't quite figure him out, but all you know is that you love his lips. Oh, and I almost forgot that. You don't even care if he has a wife at home because at least you know where you stand. He ain't your man, and that way you don't have to worry about him breaking your heart. But he's so good at what he do that feelings start to creep in, so you pull back and tell him that you only want to be friends because now you want a man of your own and you think I'm going to be your tow truck. Age done caught up with you, and it seems like you done ran out of luck. Now look at you over there all dusty, itching and scratching, examining yourself, trying to figure out what happened. I remember back in the day you told me that you was only in the Thug Brothers, and now you all grown up and only in the Club Brothers because they don't mind buying you a drink. Honestly, is that what you think a good man is? Well, you're wrong. A good man puts his family and his community first, and they make time to help their kids with their homework, but I bet you think that's lame. You lost in the game, baby girl, and I think it's a shame that so many of my sisters think like you. I just want to know, what are you going to do when your body stops looking like it used to and now your load too heavy? It's like you went from driving a Sunfire to pushing a beat-up Chevy trying to make your way up a hill because now you done ran out of gas. I tried to tell you that quick money don't last and that you should have been searching for substance, but like a dope fiend, all you really wanted to do was get high, so you rode in that drug dealer's car and lived his life when he told you, boo, I want to be with you forever. And you thought it was the truth until he got locked up and lost all his loot, and then you even turned your back on him too. So now I'm saying, keep pushing, talk to the hand, and go find your dope man, because trick, I don't need you. If I was with you, all I'd do is leave you just to show you how it feels, and since I'm keeping it real, I don't really like yellow women no more anyway. So go find yourself some rocks and kick them. Try to convince somebody else that you're the victim, because I believe you brought it on yourself, and now you're getting what you deserve. And yeah, I got a lot of nerves, but I'm smart enough to know I'd rather be broke and have a real woman than have the money to buy myself a crow, you see. It's not like I don't feel your pain. It's just that you have plenty of other choices that you could have made, but instead it was all about getting paid, and in the end you got played. Because a good man is kind of like a book. You can't just look at the cover and decide that he's not for you, but you read a few pages, you might find that he's the type of brother that you should be trying to take home with you.
That's all right, Doc. You wrote that yourself?
Oh, yes, sir.
Beautiful, beautiful. I probably should have prefaced it and let you know that it was a little long, but I
too long.
Had you, man.
Yes,
because that
yes,
was on
yes,
point.
Yes.
That was absolutely
yeah,
on point.
I apologize.
And,
I figured
and
that.
No, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate what you shared. And give us a call again anytime. We're going to be doing this for a while now. Just an FYI to everybody out there in the world. Our show is, you know, tonight is prime time. It's probably going to be moving because the set is going to be moving. The set actually is going to be moving to Canada. That's right. We didn't stutter. I said Canada. It's going to be moving to probably, well, for lack of another specific name, Calgary, up there in the great Northwest. We'll hopefully continue to be able to do this and reach the world, reach the masses. That ultimately is the goal. So for anyone out there, 619-639-4747, 639-4747, the area code being 619, check us out. Normally this is a spot where I drop a promo and pay some bills, but I committed tonight to basically go commercial free. So, just going to go commercial free. We said number one of the 10 things men can do to end violence against women is acknowledge and understand how sexism, patriarchy, and male privilege lay the foundation for all forms of violence against women. Number two is examine and challenge our individual sexism and the role that we play in supporting men who are abusive. Understanding, of course, that your silence supports the act. You have to remember this. And let me go into number three because I know I'm short on time. Recognize and stop colluding with other men by getting out of our narrow, simply defined roles and take a stance to end the violence. Now, understand something. Women aren't perfect. No sister is. I don't care how good you think she looks or otherwise. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But this isn't about her. And I want you to understand, brothers, I love you to death, but this isn't about her. This is about us. This is about us looking in the mirror and taking control of our behavior. And trust and believe, we will find an episode where we can come together and talk about our sisters and allow them a chance to share their perspectives about some of the things that we've done. Because trust and believe, there are enough of you out there that would love to share. It's 619-639-4747. But tonight, this is the man episode. This is about us brothers and what we need to do to take back control of our own activities and our own accountability and be responsible. And you heard 699 say it's about accountability and about being responsible. You know, again, this is a call to men. If I were to ask a brother right now, someone call me and give me your perspective on how we stop putting our hands on our women, how we stop violence against women. And don't I want a brother to call me at 619-639-4747. Tell me how we do that and not blame her. Don't blame her for provocation, because guess what? That ain't going to change. And I'm not indicting my sisters at all. But you know who you are when you loud talk, when you get loud, when you raise your voice, when you're trying to get your point across and you think he's not listening. You know who you are. But this is not about you. This is about that brother who has to make the good decision not to put his hands on you. He has to acknowledge that in a male-dominated society, that for years he's been able to control his so-called property known as his girl, and it was just okay. I am tired of going down to 26th in California, seeing my brothers on their first lockdown because him and his girlfriend got into it, or him and his wife got into it. And then you find out it was over something relatively petty, the dinner she made. And that's not the root cause of the real problem. It's nothing more than the symptom. But what do we do? What do we as men do? I can tell you all the reasons we shouldn't do it. I can tell you the 10 things we can do to stop violence against women. But is that going to be enough for motivation for you? Are you man enough? Do you have the chutzpah, the kahunas, for lack of a better word, do you have the balls to look in the mirror and say, I must control me? I am in control of me. I recognize that I'm flawed. I recognize she may be flawed. She's got an opinion. I've got an opinion. And opinions are like back ends. Everybody's got one. Can you remember that when you see something like this going on, that your silence to it is affirming? When you choose not to speak out against violence, you are supporting it. By the way, that's number four on my list. When you fail to speak out against it, you are supporting it. Number five, educate and re-educate our sons and other young men about our responsibility in ending this. Because trust and believe, my brothers, they are watching us. Our young men, 619-639-4747, your boy, your son, your nephew, your cousin, or cousin, depending on where you at, okay? Knuck, knuck, Pookie and them, they're watching. They're watching how you comport yourself. They're watching how you deal and relate to the sisters in your world. They're watching you, and they're learning from you. Do you greet that loud sister with love, or do you greet her with the same combative spirit that maybe she's greeted you with? And how do you handle that? One of my new dearest friends, Sully Mandarita from Men Stopping Violence, we had this conversation, I believe it was the first Friday we got together. And he said, the concept of greeting someone with love. Greeting someone with peace and love. And no, my brothers, it is not always easy. Guess what? It wasn't designed to be always easy. Perhaps in the perfect world that we really don't live in, that would be the case. But our harsh reality is what it is. And what onus do we have when we've forgotten to do something? And we talked about this early in this series when we first got into this. When you've forgotten the birthday, when you've forgotten the anniversary, when you've forgotten your child's birthday, ooh-wee, now you have an issue. And it may not come out now, because if you've got that real sister girl that don't want to put you on blast or embarrass you in front of, you know, the kinfolk or the family at the birthday party because everybody's there now and they don't want you to look bad. So maybe she didn't front you off at that point. No, that wouldn't be cool. But, oh, you got to go home with that one. You got to go home with her. And now you got to have that conversation at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. How could you do this? Far too many times conversations like that become combative and they become violent. What is your role? What can you do? You can acknowledge
with an act of contrition and simply say you're sorry? You might be a couple hours late on that, but you certainly can do that. What would you do if that were you? If that's you, you've come into a situation that obviously is a little bit, for lack of a better word, combative. 619-639-4747. I want your perspective. 619-639-4747. And again, I'm looking for the brothers tonight. We've heard from several. I'm looking for you. I see you all hitting me on Facebook. I see you hitting me on Twitter. That's all wonderful and good. I really, really appreciate you. Back to our list. 10 things men can do. Number 6, challenge our fear of being perceived as gay, which has been a tactic men created to discourage other men from getting involved in the movement to end sexism and violence against women. Now, understand something. I'm not afraid of the word gay. And I know a lot of my brothers in media and the sports world are afraid to say that word. Gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever your alternative lifestyle might be. And understand the point, though. This has nothing to do with perhaps your orientation. It has more to do with being perceived as soft. Again, if you haven't been that brother maybe that bedded a bunch of girls when you were in your latter teen years, and maybe you weren't out there wilding out talking about how many sisters you got with and all this, that wasn't the conversation. And Kirk Franklin talks about this when he talks about his struggles with pornography, because once upon a time he was always concerned about, you know, the perception that, you know, he was getting his. Really? Let me ask you right now, how do we define our young boys and girls right now? As men, do we teach our boys that girls are just possessions? Get all you can get. That'll help define you as a man. Is that what we're teaching them? I know for the longest time we told our brothers not to cry. You know, when little boys, right? Yeah, I mean, I remember living in Galesburg, Illinois, on the corner of Holton Street and Knox, and two doors over was, at that point in my life, the love of my life, and her name was Stephanie. And I thought, no, Stephanie could do no wrong. But when both of us got in trouble for whatever we did, something we might have done stupid, we stood before maybe her grandmother or my mom, and Stephanie could be just boo-hooing left and right. And you know what they told Stephanie? That's okay. And they gave Stephanie hugs, and it was okay for Stephanie to cry. And they look over little Vincent, my little fat little roly-poly self. I'm not allowed to cry. I got a little tear in my eye, and my dad looks at me, grabs me by my shoulder, and says, is that what I think it is? And he's referring to that tear that's trying to hang on to the outside of my left eye. Because we don't cry. Oh, no. You need to go somewhere and fix your face. Get yourself right. And then come back and tell me what happened. Like a man. I love my father to death. I love him to death. God rest his soul. But in that moment, ooh, I wanted to cry so bad. But anyway, notwithstanding all that, rough times of these youngsters, what do our youngsters have to do? Are they allowed to be, you know, sensitive to their situation? Can they feel? Let's move on. Number 7 on our list tonight is accept our responsibility that violence against women will not end until men become part of the solution to end it. Brothers, we have to take an active role in creating a culture and a social shift that no longer tolerates such acts against our sisters. Now, notice that number right there, that explanation right there has nothing to do with what she may have done. Is it easy? No, it is hard. It is very challenging. Because sometimes, yes, our sisters do provoke. Yes, they do say some things that really rub us the wrong way. They get under our skin. This is about us, about what we do, and how we carry ourselves. I need you to have the courage, the chutzpah, the moxie to say, not tonight. We're not doing this tonight. Now, let me quick little segue. What if she hits you? What if she swings on you? You haven't called her out her name. You haven't raised a hand. None of the above. And yet, she swings on you. Brothers, there's nothing wrong with you getting to a phone and calling 911 yourself. And I know that's not the, quote, manly thing to do. but it is the intelligent thing to do. If you feel you're in a situation where you know your retaliation will get you a visit to 26 in California, it will get you in some type of incarcerated state, it will get you in some type of trouble, it will cost you your family. Brother, it may take a minute for you to take a step back and simply think about the fallout of your actions. My brothers, I do not want to see you or hear about you raising your hand again to your sisters. Stop. And I know it's easy for me to sit here in a studio and say, accept your responsibility. But fellas, we have to be part of the cultural shift. We have to be part of the solution. Which takes me to number 8. Stop pathologizing, if you will, men's violence by blaming mental illness, lack of anger management, chemical dependency, stress, which are only now excuses for men's violence. Now, look, does that mean mental illness isn't real? Of course not. It is real. Stress is real. Lack of anger management is an excuse. Okay? Chemical dependency for violence, it's an excuse. Violence against women is rooted in the historic oppression of women known as sexism. Brothers, you don't want to hear this. You don't like it. It just is what it is. It just is what it is. That said, here's Bailey with Ball and Chain as we wind it down.
I look in the mirror. I don't recognize this reflection. Thinking back, I got lost in this projection. Slowly reminiscing about the trials and tribulations. Jesus saved me. Covered by his blood, I'm now safe. An innocent being turned into a craze. The flesh abused through an obsessed rage. And so I told her, love isn't a mile run. So if there's a run, it's because he's running from you. Love shouldn't be dangerous, hence love didn't exist. You see, you created this illusion. Regardless if the abusing was intense, you gave him the love that made sense to you. Drawn with the ink of eyeliner, cover-ups, illuminating lips. The sway of the hips is what kept him on focus. Nobody noticed the smile made up. The hesitation to wake up. Those nights where the bottle wouldn't leave your hand, you did nothing but hold it higher. For you to drown in the sense of something so disgusting. Didn't care if your lust was just because you were drunken. Didn't care that that cough you had could have been something else. That those Newports would prove that one day, sooner than later, you would die. Didn't care when those shadows laid hands and penetrated you while half past dead. Didn't move a muscle when you cried and wished to die with a knife in your hand so high. Don't want to be here anymore. 4 years, like a ball and chain tied to a beast. I watched you every single day wake up and want to sleep again. Rather live in the Alice in Wonderland than to breathe the same the air as him. The swelling on your face spoke a thousand words. Why'd he hit you and you still wanted to be his girl? Instilling fear that it was her like a serenade of a singer. Because manipulation was at its greatest. You see, I'm staring at this reflection, not recognizing this projection. I was susceptible to either side, but the balance was losing grip, slowly slandering down into the depths of the devil's pit. That alcohol was my hydration. That reefer was my motivation. See, when I was in control, I seemed to always stumble. So I gave myself a reason. Get drunk, get the fool out, and blame all the mistakes on you. Kept you from your friends and from your passions. Was like a ball and chain tied behind bars you were held captive. See, in my mind, in order to survive was to make sure that I died. Each sip was a step closer. Each sip made me feel nothing. Numb to the hits that were placed on my face. The tug of war with my hair didn't hurt as much. This body wasn't being cherished. It was getting prepared to be buried because then I felt it was worth none. Seated in the bathroom, hiding from the rage, praying for somebody to save me, holding a knife beside me, lifting up my sleeve, my Bible telling me to cut me. Carved not deep enough was the word love. I wanted to see it. because it wasn't around me at all. Fear not, for I am with you. Something inside me told me to no longer be afraid. I knew I could die from my next move, but in my eyes there was nothing more I could lose. Even though I was at my weakest, I felt stronger than ever. I was giving myself away, powered by my Lord, conquering the devil. And so I said, I'm done. It's over. You need to go. Confrontation was in heat, but his grin was cheek to cheek. Smiles and, it's okay, was on repeat. It took a split second for blood to drip, landing in the arms of a woman whose strength to control. See, in that moment, my mother was empowered by God's strength. This little lady wasn't afraid of this beast who made her daughter bleed. She looked dead in his eyes, and now it felt defeat. So as I'm staring at this reflection, thanking God for this blessing, because even though my teeth need to work and my nose and jaw will never feel the same, I'm thankful for that day. The ball and chain was broken.
One of my favorites. All right, back to the list. We're down to the last two, number 9 and number 10 on our list of 10 things men can do to end the violence against women. Number 9 is one that may be a little touchy for a lot of us. Do not support any institution or resource being utilized to pathologize men's violence against women. Do not support any institution or resource being utilized to pathologize men's violence against women. For most of us, you may not even recognize the institutions that actually may promote that. And today's iteration or version of sexism may be largely harder to detect than maybe it used to be. I mean, some things are very, very visual. You see a man hitting his woman. And you know, I tend to watch shows like Southland every now and then just because they're not afraid to push the envelope and show you what domestic violence looks like. But the idea that you would be supporting a business that somehow perpetuates this male dominance perspective or patriarchy that somehow shows you that women are inferior, which often leans to the world of control, even to the world of porn in so many cases. And understand something. For consensual couples who are together that are watching an adult film and getting some type of titillation out of it for the benefit of their relationship, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. Because uniquely enough, I don't have a problem with that. And I know some of my brothers in the clergy that wear a cloth may be like aghast that I said that. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is any brother that would throw in a porn flick and try to coerce, intimidate, or force his girl to do what he sees in that flick. Because that's wrong. That's abuse. You don't have to like it, fans. It's okay. I said it. I'll stand by it. Number 10, accept leadership from sisters. Violence against women will end when we take direction from those who understand it most. Is that hard to do? Is it hard to take direction from a woman? Is it hard to take leadership from your sisters? Forgetting the ethnicity, white, black, Asian, doesn't matter. Is it hard? Because I can stand here right now and give you some circumstances in my own personal professional life that would give me reason to pause for a minute because some of the meanest people I've met happen to be sisters in the corporate world. And it's hard sometimes to take guidance, but it had nothing to do with the fact they were women. Of course, that was always my contention. It had nothing to do with the fact they were women. It had everything to do with the fact that I just thought they were wrong. But are you okay taking leadership from a woman? 6 minutes left in today's ride, 619-639-4747. Are you okay as a man learning from a woman? Because you know the first thing I'm going to remind you is you came from a woman. Mother herself birthed you into this world. Trust and believe, she was dictating some things whether you know it or not, whether you thought it or not. She was holding you down. And I'd like to believe she's one of the reasons that you're standing strong today. And you're happy and healthy in whatever your environment. Again, guys, we can make better decisions. We can. Accepting leadership from women. It's important, fellas. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But my brothers, I need you to stand up. And they used to always tell us,
when men stand up, boys sit down. Because, fellas, they're watching us. They're learning from us. They're gleaning from us. So this is a call to men. And if you know someone caught in a situation with no real game plan to get out of it, they're fronting like nothing's wrong, but you know in your heart of hearts something's wrong, get them the help they need. If they don't, if they're not willing to step out, you know, you can't be judgmental, and we'll talk about that here in a few seconds. But you can at least give them the information, and if they want to make a decision to get the help they need, you know, they can call 1-800-799-7233. 800-799-7233 or 800-799-SAFE. Signs of an abusive relationship as we start to shut this down, because I think we said earlier we were going to give you the different types, and I want to make sure I get to that before, you know, we wind this down. Types of abuse. Emotional abuse, again, being insulted, intimidated, humiliated, or isolated, are just some of the more hidden signals that a relationship may be abusive. Physical abuse, being slapped, kicked, punched, pushed, choked, those are obvious. You know, obvious signs that a relationship's gotten physical. Bruises, scratches, welts, cuts, bone breakages, abrasions can result, you know, consciously from someone who's simply just a hurt victim. Economic abuse. This is something that a lot of you tend to forget about. Being denied access to resources is a more subtle sign of abuse. Taking your paycheck, withholding bill payments are a few examples of economic abuse that leads to financial dependency on that abuser. It's an effective method of power and control. And then, of course, there's sexual abuse, which can include a wide range of forced or unwanted sexual activity, including touching, suggestive or offensive comments, forced to have sex against your will, which is rape. Again, if you know someone in that situation, 800-799-7233 or 800-799-SAFE. I'm trying to figure out why is it every single time we touch on these really, really sensitive subjects, we get a couple of bold brothers, and I thank Liberal 141 and 699 for chiming in tonight and having some things to share with us tonight. It's really, really important that brothers stand up. You know, and each brother would love to always say, well, what about her and what about what she did? And it was the grace of God that kept me from raising my hand to her. And I'm always going to come back with a simple perspective that it is really on you as the man. Yet and still, so many women stay in relationships that they know are unhealthy. And we've shared with you that an unhealthy upbringing, in terms of definition of manhood, is often at the root cause of some of our actions and some of our activities. That said, it becomes a man problem. It is a man problem. Brothers, we have to be involved in the solution. And if I told you right now that I don't care what she said, I don't care if you feel like she emasculated you, I don't care. What did you do? I need every brother that can hear me to find a mirror, look in that mirror, and question himself, assess himself. You may be blessed enough in your life right now to have a beautiful woman by your side, or your partner. If you're living an alternative lifestyle, you may have a beautiful partner in your lifestyle. I want to be sensitive. The reality is, if you've got that, can you? Are you currently capable of appreciating what you have in your life? Are you currently capable of showing love and perpetuating peace in your household? Are you capable of that? I'd like to believe that you are. I really, really would. The numbers bear out that that isn't always the case. 1 in 3. If those of you here today and go out today, and if you hear nothing more, you hear 1 in 3. 1 in 3. 1 in 3. All that means is you know someone, or you know someone, or you know of someone that may be in a situation. Maybe it hasn't been revealed to you yet. Look for the signs. And then don't be silent. Because your silence supports that behavior. And brothers, we're better than that. We can take back a lot of the peace that once existed in a lot of these communities by simply standing up. And understand something, brothers. A lot of people want help and act like they don't want help. You've seen too many times when you've jumped involved, or someone's gotten involved to break up a fight, but as soon as you break up the fight, they don't want you to hurt the husband. They don't want you to call the police. You can't do it all. You can't help them all. I know you want to. I want to. But they've got to want to help themselves. And that's our show for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, write down the number 619-639-4747. And remember here, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time on not only the fastest 60 minutes in sports, but on A Time to Heal. Have a great night, everybody.